Just said earlier, there is a stirring that is taking place, the presence of God manifesting himself not only in this assembly but all over the nation, all over the world. We just need to look up and see his hand is at work. And then sometimes, as we've been decreeing and even been singing about the presence of the Lord reigning, the R-A-I-N, in some of our lives, he's not R-E-I-G-N-ing. He's not reigning in our lives. And this night, this day, in this place, this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to come. If there's any area in your life right now where the Spirit of God is not reigning, you're not seeing breakthrough, you're not seeing victory that he desires for you to walk in, I invite you to come to the altar and let's settle that. Let's not go into 2020 with anything binding us, anything hindering us from walking in the fullness of who we are in Christ Jesus. So come, if there's any area, if there's anything that is hindering you from walking in the fullness of who the Father desires for you to be, you don't have to be there. You don't have to live there. You can live victorious. You can live set free, because that's where he wants to be in our lives. He wants to be reigning in our lives. So we thank you, Father God. And I want you all, just as the people are coming, just to continue as an attitude of worship before our God. God does not want any one of us hindered by anything that might plague us from walking in the fullness of who he's decreed us to be in Christ Jesus. So come, the altars, and when you come, they're not going to pray for you. They're going to decree victory. They're going to decree liberty in your life. So we thank you, Father God. We rejoice. We celebrate you, Father God, your hand at work. Thank you, sir. Don't let this time go by without receiving your breakthrough tonight. Thank you, Father.
Would say to this house, I am your God, I am your keeper, I am your strength, I am your ever-present help. But I have already decreed victory for this house. I know you're saying when, but I'm telling you, if you will celebrate what has already been promised, you will see it manifest. The enemy cannot stop what is ordained for this house, not individually, but all of you corporately, will receive the promise that my son has laid in store for this house. There is a place that you have to go, that you have to go in peace and strength, but you're going to go in prosperity. You're not going to go begging. You're not going to go wondering, when is it going to happen? How can I make it happen? But I'm telling you, my hand is upon you, and I have released the prosperity and the peace that comes within it, because you have trusted in me. You have stayed in place. I will do what I have called this house to do. It is my job to manifest that which you need. It is not yours. And I will do what I have promised. But the man of God established this house and knew what you were called to. You will see what he did not live to see, but you will see it, you will walk in it, and you will do it.
For you stand on the precipice of victory. As my son said, that we shall go to the other side. Don't you know that victory already awaits you on the other side? It's just a matter of you walking up and rising out in the fullness of who I've called you to be. And though the winds may rage, the storms may come against you, you will decree, get out of my way, before nothing will stop me from accomplishing the victory that my Father says belongs to me. Rise up, it belongs to you. Do not be moved by what's to the left nor to the right, but arise as the sons of the Most High, established by my word and by decree, that you are victorious, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue risen against you in judgment, you shall condemn it, because I go before you, and whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. This is your time. This is your season. Arise in the fullness of who I've called you to be, as my sons, as my elect in the earth. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father God. Big is your victory, because it's going to come out in your praise. If your victory just gets you to the next minute, well, your praise may just get to you to the next minute. But how big is your victory? How big is your victory? Hallelujah, Father, we pray. praise you. We exalt you, Lord God. You have brought us into an enormous place, a glorious place, a holy place. We rejoice in you, Lord God. You have led your people in triumph, in victory, Lord God. We go behind in nothing. We fall behind in nothing because you are so good. And Father, your goodness is known in your people. Hallelujah, Lord God. Father, everywhere we go, Father, we go in your triumph, in your victory. Thank you so much, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father God. You are restoring dreams. You are restoring visions. You are restoring the things that the enemy has tried to steal. No more. No more. We celebrate what you are doing in our hearts and in our lives and in this city and in each one of us. We celebrate who you are and what you are doing. We thank you, Father God, that you are mighty. You are mighty. You are powerful. It is you who will be seen, and it is you who will let your glory fall in this place. We celebrate you, Lord God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I want to share a quick story with everyone while we're praising God and God's power. 4 years ago when I left Texas and I moved back to Michigan, I had a car. It was a 2003 Pontiac Grand Prix. I gave it to a friend of mine before I left. I figured I got a new car, I'll bless somebody else with it. We set a price on it that I probably wasn't gonna get, wasn't expecting it. I just figured I'd bless them with it. I gave it to him. I returned back to Texas. I seen the car. It wasn't in as great a shape as I left it in, but I gave it to him. And me and my carnal mind, me and my fleshly mind, I was judging how he kept the car, how he let the car go, how he treated the car, not knowing that God blessed me to be a blessing to someone else. And then he told me, I'm going to give this car to someone else. And I said, in that condition, does it even still run? God, why did you have me bless him with this car if this is the way he was going to treat it? How dare he treat this car like that? Look at me on my high horse, judging somebody about a blessing that God used me to give. He gave someone this car. Yesterday, before I got ready to me and my wife to get on a live stream to do the expression session show we do, I got a call from his wife. And she said, I meant to tell you the other day when you left about the car. You know how you gave us the car and it was sitting there and you asked us what we was going to do with it? Well, I told my girlfriend that she needed to come get her car because I'm getting ready to turn my phone off for a few days and I don't need it anymore. Come get this car, the 2003 Grand Prix that I gave. Her girlfriend came by to get the car, and I seen the car drive off. I'm like, wow, it still runs, Lord? That was a good car. I watched the car drive off. And when she told me the story about how she blessed her friend with the car and her friend drove off and went home and she was sitting in the car or in the house with some family members later on that evening, somebody rolled past their house and shot up the house. 50 or 60 bullets rattled the car. No one was injured in the car. No one was hurt in the home because the car absorbed all the bullets. I said, Lord, you blessed me to give somebody else a car to protect someone else's life. When God asks you to speak to someone, when God asks you to give someone something, when God tells you to move, you have no idea what God is going to do down the line for somebody else. Don't be so judgmental of someone's situation. Don't be so judgmental of what we give. Don't worry about why God is asking you to bless somebody. Bless somebody as God has blessed you. And if you're faithful in your well-doing, he will show you, faithful servant, why you bless somebody the way you did. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I saw a whole nother way going with that, Brother Ethan.
Thank you, Lord.
You gave somebody a gift, but you were kind of a little bit put out by them not taking care of it. Our Father has given us a gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of life, the gift of His Son. How have we treated that? How have we treated Him?
Are we treating him with the respect and the honor and the care that is due him as we pull on the anointing this morning, as we pull on the Spirit of God? I tell you, I am no longer satisfied with church as usual. We've got to have the Spirit of the Lord in everything we do, and I am determined. I was in here for a couple hours yesterday, had some music playing, and I was just pulling on the anointing. I was pulling on it. I was requiring, because I can't do this. I can't do anything by myself. But with the anointing that has been placed on our lives, I can do all things through His presence, through His power. And that's what He wants us to do with the gift that He gave. He doesn't want us to just hold on to it and say, well, maybe I can bless somebody else. No, He wants us to use that power, use that anointing to change your world. Now, each one of our world is different than the other, but it's the same Spirit. And we get it right here. We get it right here in the presence of the Almighty God. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you hungry for His presence, for His power, for His Spirit, for His everyday interaction to fullness in your life? I'm hungry, and I'm ready to pull. I'm ready to grab a hold of His garment and say, no, you're not leaving. You're not leaving till you bless me, Lord. Till you bless me. Come down, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, rain down. Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fill us. Fill us. Fill us. Fill us. Fill us. Move with miracles, signs, and wonders. Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. You are. You are our Father. You are our Lord. You are our provider. We will not let you go. We will not park you in the driveway and let you deteriorate by yourself. No, Father God, we honor you with the gift that you gave. We honor you for the power that you have made available to us. We honor you by using and by accepting and by taking advantage of what you have provided in our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, comforter and friend.
Oh, comforter
and friend. Oh, we need your touch, Father God.
Oh, we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down. Let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word.
this is a season of miracles. This is a season of miracles, signs, wonders, miracles. This is the season of miracles. And blessed are you, blessed are we who believed that there would be a fulfillment of the things spoken of the Lord. There are several words that went forth today. Blessed are you who believe that there will be a fulfillment. Believe that it will come to pass. This is a season of miracles.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
You say, Brother Richard, are you trying to work something up? Are you trying to create, stir something? No, the up is already here. The up is already here. I'm trying to get you to receive it. We don't need, the presence of God is available. The presence of God is here. When we say, Holy Spirit, rain down in our hearts, in our lives, that we will no longer be the same. The Spirit of God is here among us right now. We have invited Him. He is a gentleman. He shows up. He said that when we would gather in His name, that He would be in our midst. He is here. He is here. And it's up to us to receive. It's your choice to receive from the Holy Spirit, to receive the very life and breath of God, and to celebrate His dealings, His life, His presence in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we celebrate just a little bit? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we praise you, mighty God.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Exactly what Pastor Richard just spoke is what God has brought up in my spirit. When we were praying on Thursday evening, God said, just celebrate. Just celebrate. So this is His service for us to celebrate. But the Lord said, some of you are standing back. You're thinking you're going to get it because you were here. But you need to take a step of faith that when I come up, somebody is going to agree with me and I'm getting what I have been believing for. It isn't that your faith is weak, but God has set aside a time for you that you know that He is open. This is your time. This is a different time for House of the Lord. This is a time when God wants to show out for you. You can stand back or you can stand up and say, I'm getting mine today.
The altar is still available to receive. You need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be victorious. The man of God said in the word that I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. That's what's going to transform our world. While believers are arguing with this other believer, and we talked about that in our Sunday classes, we're bickering about stuff that's unnecessary when we need to be releasing the power of God. That's the only thing that's going to bring change. Yes. You can bicker all day and argue about this and argue, but until you see the power of God, that's what people need to see demonstrated on a daily basis. So the altar is still open. If you need agreement for that empowerment, you need to be free to be who all that Christ Jesus created you to be. Don't leave here the same. Don't leave here the same way you came, but leave empowered with what belongs to you as a son and daughter of the Most High God.
You know, sometimes we think we can do it on our own. We've heard the word. We know how to stand on the word. We know how to do it by ourselves. Some of you need to be down here. I came down. You might think, oh, well, what will they think of me if I come down here? They're going to pray with you. They're going to agree with you that it happens. We got to quit being, I don't know what the word is, stupid. Sometimes we need one another. I need you. And whether you believe it or not, you need me. And you need people to pray with you. Don't be afraid to step out. There's things going on in our lives sometimes. We just need somebody to pray with us. And you've got godly men. They're not Pastor Jim per se, but yet they are because they learned under him. Come and be a part. If you need a job, if you need healing, if you need health, whatever it might be that you need, don't be afraid to step out and let these people, these ministers, agree with you. We can't always do it on our own. Sometimes we need help. Don't be ashamed to get help.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's sing it up one more time.
I pray that your heart was open to receive the move of God that is happening in this place, because what is happening is what was spoken that we should do, be imparted to go out. We are not being changed and allowing him to reign for just this place. We are being changed and imparted to and strengthened and infused and given boldness an increase in every area, because our eyes have not seen, nor could we know. Like Brother Ethan said, he didn't know what his purpose was for. He was just obedient. Our obedience is out there. Our obedience is out there, but the equipping is in here. So right now, if you haven't already done so, yield your heart. Yield your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions to God's impartation of strength, ability, and flow for the nations, for the city, for the state, for your neighborhood, for your household.
Yes.
We are changing out there. We are being changed in here so we can change out there. Daily, I ask myself, what does God want me to do? Lord, who do you want me to speak to? Who do you want me to impart to? How can I be used? It is no longer in here that we receive that crown, that glory, that legacy like Mama Jo has. Mama Jo poured her life into us. She poured her life not just in this building or whatever building we were in. She poured her life out daily. She called us. She invited us over. She gave of herself as God led her. You've got to be open. You've got to be, like Sister Lou said, outside of yourself. Outside of yourself. And receive this. I mean, it's tangible in this place. And it's for you to go out. It's for you to go out.
Lemana kriyaro yabasha ko bakriyasa eko bakriyasa kama kriyaso koriyasa ekoriyasi komana kriyaso krobiyasha eleko bakriyamana titiko kokriyasi krobiyasha komana kriyaro yabashi kriyasi eko kriyasa komana no marariyasi ekoriyabasha ka tata ko basha. I have called you. I have anointed you. I have equipped you. I don't care how long you've been here. If you are here now, you are a part of the call for this house. And the call for this house is an international call. Yes, you will start here, but you will go to the nations. Even the youngest ones, you are raising up those who will go to the nations because of the purity of the word, because of your heart being given to me, because you have set yourself in agreement with what my son has to do, what this house is called for. You didn't stay here because you wanted to. There are places that you could be where the church is much bigger. They would offer you more, but you have stayed in the place that I have called you for. This is the pastors you're supposed to be under. For the nation to see me, but those who I have already set in place to be transformed by you. Even now, I don't care. If you know me, you have enough to give to somebody else. It is the time for you to stop worrying about whether you're like a brother John, a brother Kenneth, Pastor Richard. You have my heart. You have something to give. It takes many. It takes many. This is an international church. So you are going to go to the nations. I promised your pastor when he started, you will go to the nations. You will take this city. I am taking Austin, Texas. Yes, we are the revival center of the nation. Revival starts with you. And what you have is enough to start. If you will use what you have, I will increase. And your confidence will increase. Hallelujah. It is me who will do the work. But I need you to work through. This is a season. This is a time. The nations are calling for you. There are ministers who are going to come here because of what you have. Because of what they see that was placed in you that they're going to want for their churches. This has already been prophesied. But God is saying, you're the ones who are here now. And I will work through and move through you now, today. Hear me and hear me well. You're either going to move or there are people in this house who are going to walk over you. But my word will go forth. And the power in that word will go forth.
Two things. Pastor, what the Lord showed you last night, that's a beginning. It's a beginning. It's not, don't think that this is an unusual assembly. This is necessary for the next place that God has taken us. There was one time House of the Lord, I remember, was called a filling station. We're refilling what God has placed in us so that we can be equipped to go out and do what he's called us to do. Just as my Aunt Gail just prophesied, this is the time for God's people to be so overflowing with his presence that we won't even have to say a word. We'll be sensitive enough to sense God moving in a situation and be able to act on it by just our very presence being there. Just like Peter would walk by and his shadow would heal people. Expect that. Expect that demonstration of God in your lives. And then second of all, my brother, the stuff that you were sharing with us this morning about the darkness and the things that you saw in your home country, I didn't realize you were sharing that for a reason. And I hear the Lord saying, you need to begin considering yourself by the name of chain breaker. God has called you to be a chain breaker of the darkness, not just in your home country, but every place you go. He's equipped you to be a chain breaker, to set the captives free. You've seen those works of darkness for a reason, because God has called you to be the light that breaks that darkness. Just your very presence, people will come and they'll come to you to be set free and won't even know why, because God has called you chain breaker. God has called you to be the one who will set those captives free, not just here, but in Botswana and every place your feet trod, because he's allowed you to see that darkness and he's allowed you to understand the only thing that will set those people free is not some government program, not some, as you were saying, the government didn't even know what to do. That's because they don't know what to do. It's the very light of God that's inside of you that will set those people free. So when you think of yourself, you say, I'm chain breaker. I'm the one that God has called to set those people free from that darkness.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There's still ministry going on, but I got a couple of things to say. You may be seated. Praise team, thank you. You can go down. Kiddos will be staying in this morning. Praise God. Don't get nervous. I haven't forgot the offering. We'll have announcements and all that in just a few minutes, but I just want to share a couple of things. I had no idea. Ministers, do y'all have anything else to share? Okay. All of this has come up. You see, I walked up here with no notes. I have nothing before me. That is a little scary. But God has put something in me. And this is what some of you may say, what are we going to all turn into ministers? Yes. Is everybody going to be able to talk during church and share their thoughts? Well, decently and in order. But those of us that have sat under Pastor Jim for any amount of time, we have learned enough to do everything that God has called us to do. We have even learned enough to know how to feed ourselves. Do you know how to open your Bible and study? Do you know the four questions? Everybody knows the four questions. You know how to meditate. You know how to mutter over, okay, by his stripes I'm healed. By, that means it's because of the stripes. His, God's stripes. The stripes that Jesus took on his back. By his stripes, the beating, you take each word and you say, oh, you think about it. You say, how does it fit in this sentence? How does it apply to me? I am healed. Okay, that means I'm healed. That means not, if I'm healed, then I'm not sick. If I'm not sick, then his stripes have healed me, because sickness is part of sin. But I'm free from sin, so therefore I must be healed. And you come to that conclusion. You that's how you renew your mind. Each one of you can crack open the Bible and feed yourself. You don't need up here. You need each other. We all need each other. But the goal has always been to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. What Sister Tina was talking about, the work of the ministry doesn't go on in here. You are not being equipped to be preachers. You're not being equipped to stand behind a pulpit. Some of you are, and you know who you are. Some of you are fighting it and running from it, but you know who you are. But that's not what the equipping is for. The equipping is for going out. And any one of us, I could probably walk around. Did you hear Ethan? Did you hear how he was talking with boldness? Did you hear Sister Tina, how she was talking with boldness? Do you hear me standing up here with no notes? Saying, God, if you better put something up there, or we're just going to stand here and look at each other. But I could give the microphone to any one of you, and you could expound on truth that you have learned from sitting in this church. You have no need for more teachers. Bible says you at the times that you should be teachers, you're wanting more. You're wanting the milk of the word. And to stay on the foundation that Pastor Jim has taught, the foundation of and the doctrines and the revelation of the things of the Holy Spirit, you can do that yourself. You should do that yourself. That is what you have been called to. And we are, now I'm not fussing. I'm instructing. I'm teaching. I'm equipping even right now that the ministers, and we're working on some things, will need each and every one of you. We all need each and every one of you, but you all have an assignment. You all, every one of you has an assignment. And there's some direction, there's some teaching in that assignment, how to do that. And the ministers and the staff and everybody that we can get on board with us will be leading those areas and teaching in those areas, not on Sunday and Wednesday. Now, let me give you, there still will be preaching and teaching going on here every Sunday and every Wednesday. You're not exempt to miss church. I don't care how mature you think you are, or how mature you may be, you are not exempt to miss church, because the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourself. We do not hand out excuse notes, or we don't take excuse notes like we did in high school, or you got to have a permit to get back in class. No, you are not excused to miss church. I know there are circumstances and situations that we can't avoid, but we have church here every Sunday and Wednesday. And the teaching of the word will still go on here. But we're going to be doing some outside stuff. There is much to do. And you will be getting contacted soon. Now, we're not going to kick off anything immediately, and I'm talking about till New Year's. So you got a couple of weeks to decide, what are you going to do? As the old saying goes, are you going to fish or cut bait? We need mature individuals who have been taught and are willing to be obedient. Is the next step. Obedience is the next step. And that's where we're going to go. That's what we're going to do. It takes all of us. And as we all are being put in place by the Spirit of God, He tells us, He's the one that calls us. He's the one that equips us and anoints us. Many of you, if not all of you, have an anointing. Well, I would say all of you have an anointing. You've all been called for something. It may be a one thing, or it may be a bunch of things. And let me tell you about the anointing. You know what anointing means? It means to smear. And a lot of times, you know, we say, you know, if somebody really preached good, they really impressed everybody, that, man, he was anointed tonight. Well, does that mean that he was not anointed yesterday, and that he wasn't anointed the day, or going to be anointed the next day? When God smears his presence and his power, his anointing on you, he does not wipe it off. We do not become unanointed. We don't go in and out. It's just like your salvation. You don't lose your salvation. You can walk away from it. You can throw it away. But you don't lose it. You don't lose the anointed. There is never a time, even when you first get up and your hair's all sticking straight, you know, when you get up out of bed. I looked at myself this morning and it was worse than Einstein. It was wild. But you know what? I was anointed right then. Because I was anointed when I went to bed, and I was anointed while I was asleep, because God never wipes off what he wiped on. There's no wax on, wax off with God. He puts it on. Now, he may put another layer on, and put another layer on, and then put another layer on, but it's never taking off. That's why he's got a strong right arm. That's the wax on arm right there. He never does the wax off. A strong right arm. You're never anointed, and you will keep that anointing until you leave this place. Just because someone gets old, or they get feeble, or they get that, it doesn't matter. As long as they're still breathing and their soul is still in their bodies, they are and they have the calling and the anointing of God. I know that when my father-in-law passed away, he was a man of everything. And one of his everythings was he was a songwriter. Now, he would go out and he loved the woods. He loved hunting, fishing, anything outdoors. He was out there. He wrote a lot of songs sitting in his deer blind, waiting for a trophy buck to come up. But he would start writing, and the lyrics would come, and they were great songs. They were songs filled with the Word, filled with the Spirit of God. You heard some of them the other night. If y'all were here for the memorial for Mama Jo, we had some that old 70s sound music that you were listening to. That was the Willis family. That was Mama Jo, Big Bob, and Michelle. And they were singing. But he carried that mantle until he died. Up until that time, Michelle had never written a song. When he passed, how many songs have you written now? Hundreds? She has written hundreds of songs. A lot of them I have never heard. It just, because that mantle passed. It couldn't pass till he was gone, because it was his mantle. But it also fell on her. Now I expect that the mantle that was on Mama Jo, the calling, that has been released from her. Maybe it shows up. Maybe Michelle's supposed to write books.
Maybe. Well, I know she is. She already has. But the mantle can fall on someone else. I'm not saying that it runs all the time in bloodlines and family, but I think in this case it is. But we have that until we pass. The job that needs to be done will get done. But will we be a part of it? Will we do what we have been commissioned and called to do? It's going to get done. If you don't finish yours before you go, it'll go to somebody else and they'll pick it up and take with it. So I want you to be encouraged. Say, well, I've got to do something now. Welcome to adulthood. There is not a whole lot of adult things I enjoy doing. I like playing still. Some of you saw a post on our Facebook page. I was down on the floor playing with toy trains last night. Took me a little while to get up, but I was... Michelle loves trains, and especially at Christmas time, and we have that word right there in the middle of the living room right now, but it can't stay there very long. But the adult things I can do because I've been trained, because I have learned. And those responsibilities I take care of. You have been trained, and you have learned, and you are mature. You are mature. So now it's time for you to grow and to do mature things. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. I did childish things. But when he grew up, he put away those things and he started doing adult things. Hello, adults in the Christian kingdom, in the kingdom of God. You have been trained. You've been taught. Now there's stuff to do. And we're working on that. We're working with the with the staff and with the ministers. We've got some things going. I can't tell you what they are because right now I can't put a name on them. But we're getting the order. We're getting things in order. We're getting things set. And we'll be moving soon. We'll be moving soon. We'll be or deploying soon. Let me say that. We'll be deploying. And many, many of you have major roles to play. And we need you here with us. Amen? Amen. Ministers, anything yet? Did I spark something? God say anything? Okay, well, Michelle, do you have something to say? Oh, here she comes. Hallelujah.
I may have shared this recently, but I feel like somebody needs to hear it today. And I've heard it over and over again as I've looked at God's people. And the Lord has said, I have need of you. I have need of you. And many times religion teaches us that God is all-powerful, all by himself, and he can do whatever he wants to. And if you straighten up, he might use you. And if you mess up, he might not. But see, he knew we were flawed. From before the foundation of the world, he knew what was going to happen. He knew there was going to be a breakdown and that he was going to send his son and he was going to fix it. And what's so beautiful about the fix is that we're different from Adam. We are restored to fellowship with God. We are restored to being able to come into the throne room. But the fix is in for us so that if we are deceived, if we are manipulated, if something rises up in our heart that goes against the will of God, the blood of Jesus has already been shed for it. We don't have to do penance. We don't have to sit home for 3 months and read your Bible and pray 4 hours a day and maybe God will forgive you. No, you just get up. God, I thank you. The blood of Jesus was more than enough. Help me to change whatever took me that way and use me for your glory. Because he said, I will use you in the earth. He gave us dominion in the earth. And what God gives, he does not take back. And so why do bad things happen to good people? Because we have an enemy. Why are there bad things in the earth? Because there's bad people in the earth. And God's not just going to run roughshod over them and say, I want to do it my way. He gave the earth to his man. So that's why it's important that believers rise up and understand that he has need of you to take the message to the people that don't know yet. He needs you to let what he's planted in you come to full fruition, because somebody else needs to see it in a flawed vessel. God can still shine. Amen.
Amen. But that doesn't mean you can go out and expose your flaws. You know, don't go flawing on purpose. Praise God. Well, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to receive an offering. We'll do communion next week. Tithe and offerings. How many of you know about the tithe? Is it a foreign word to you? Have you learned? I know Pastor Jim taught on it, so you should know that the tithe, the first fruit of your increase, belongs to the Lord, and he requires to have it back. And the obedience in that area opens the windows for every other area. So we are obedient in the tithe to God, and then sowing into the kingdom with offerings that are planted so that there is a harvest. You know, when a farmer goes out to sow, he works hard. He drives that John Deere all the way down to the end of the road, turns around, and comes back. That's hard work. But there's more to it than that. When he plants seeds, and then he goes and, you know, maybe has to spray some weed killer or something, or I don't know what farmers do. I know they bust the ground, they plant the seed, they cover the seed up. But he doesn't go out to his field one day and says, looky there, there's things growing out here. I wonder if that's the seeds that I planted 2 months ago. No, he knows that he's expecting those plants to be there. And he's expecting those plants to mature and to produce more. It's not a surprise when his seeds start growing. So when we sow into the kingdom of God, it shouldn't be a surprise when blessings start being added to us and the return starts coming in. Don't be surprised. Be looking for it. Take care of it. Water it with the word. Water it with your praise and thanksgiving. Keep the birds from eating the seeds. Keep calling it in. Speaking over it. Let it be a good harvest and not a poor harvest. Amen? There's the baskets on your table. I see a lot of them have already, the envelope's been filled out and placed in the basket. Checks payable to House of the Lord Fellowship Church, or just House of the Lord, HOTL if you get writer's cramp. But you're sowing into the kingdom. You're sowing into the kingdom, and the kingdom produces for its own. So we're going to... Is everybody ready? Everybody... Need another minute? Okay, guys. Gentlemen, if you would, go ahead and pick that up. While they're picking that up, I'll, instead of singing, and running y'all out of here. I'll think of an announcement here in just a minute. Oh, next week. Next week is our Sunday night, is our family Christmas banquet with special guests. And they'll be with us in the morning too. Bill and Renee Morris will be with us next Sunday morning and Sunday evening for our Christmas banquet. So it's going to be a good time. A fellowship. We'll be decorating some and making it all making it festive looking. I can't say the word even if I can. So be excited about that. As I said before, we have church here on Wednesday night, and your presence is appreciated and required. And we thank you for your giving, for your love gifts, and for the prayers and the cards that we received for Mama Jo. Family thanks you, and for the celebration that we had Friday night. We had a good time. It was a little different for a memorial, but I believe everybody got the point. And we'll miss Mama Jo. Amen. Father, we thank you for your provision to our lives. And Father God, in obedience to your word, we return to you the first tenth of our increase. And we thank you, Father God, that you are faithful to your word. You are faithful to your promise that you would open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that we could not contain. And that the fruit of our ground, the fruit of our labor, would not be stolen or eaten by the enemy. But we thank you, Father God, you watch over your word and perform it. And Father, I thank you for the offerings that have been sown into your kingdom, Father God. I thank you that you said that if we would give, it would be given back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And Father God, we expect that. We watch for it, we look for it, and we thank you for it, Father God, that we are blessed to be a blessing. We give glory and honor and praise to you. Thank you, sir. Okay. There are refreshments in the east entrance out here. Help yourselves to some of those on the way out, and hang around just for a minute or two in fellowship. It's been good to be together. It's good to see everybody. We got great things coming up, folks. And we love all of y'all, and we want y'all to be a part of what God is doing in our midst. Because without you, not much will get done. Amen? Stand with me and let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for this people. I thank you, Father God, that your hand is on their life, that your spirit lives within them, and you have called them to a noble and mighty work. And Father, I thank you that you have equipped them, you have trained them and taught them your word. You've placed your word in their hearts, and they know you. They celebrate you daily, Father. And I thank you, Father, that you celebrate them with your love and with your provision and your grace. Now, Father, I just ask that you would go with them, that you would surround them with your favor, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that every tongue that would rise against them in a judgment or even a bad opinion, it falls fruitless to the ground. It does not affect their lives. The heritage that you have given your children is that of peace and undisturbed composure, and no weapon formed against them prospers. I thank you, Father God, that everywhere they go, you lead and guide them, you are with them, you surround them with favor, you cause your face to shine in their behalf. You show yourself strong in their behalf because they are turned toward you. their hearts are turned toward you. And Father, everything they put their hand to is prosperous and successful. And because of your word in their heart, and they are obedient to do your word, that they make their way successful and prosperous in everything they do. We celebrate you, Father. We celebrate your church. Whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. You are blessed to be a blessing. Go with God.